All right, we are at 6:30. We are going to open up this work session. You want to just take it out?
Yep.
All right. And purpose of this work session is to discuss, review future capital projects related to Crystal Cove Aquatic Center, as well as make sure this is how we want to spend our money. This isn't necessarily a given that that's what we're going to do. Conversation that I wanted to open up was one that I didn't want just our council making because it was a substantial amount of money that was an investment into the community. And for the amount of time it's open, again, as part of the community's conversation, and I thought it was big enough to make it a community conversation. And I believe this is either the beginning of that, and I'm not quite sure what it's going to look like moving forward, but that's kind of what I want to happen here tonight. Did you have any input before we get rolling?
Nope, we have Jean McCann with us virtually and John Elholm here to walk through a presentation that I think both the council and commission have seen, but not together, and there's a few refinements. So I think if we start with that, that might be a good jumping off point.
All right, Jean, welcome. Are you ready to roll? There she is.
Good evening. Yes, and John is going to be giving the presentation here.
Okay. Well, that's easy. Live in person.
Well, good evening, Mr. Mayor, council members, and commission members. It's great to see this whole group together.
It is.
And what a great night to talk about the pool. It's what, 0 degrees outside? And hopefully we can talk about some little bit warmer things here. But anyway, just to recap, the Crystal Cove Aquatic Center provides services to the community. It's a place for people in the community to go get swim lessons. We had 466 lesson spots, 62 lessons. And the thing that for Crystal is it is a lower cost and close to home opportunity for people in our community. It's a destination for the general public. Also swim teams, group events, summer camps, birthday parties, things like that. Although if you look at this last year, things like summer camps didn't happen because the school groups were all shut down for the summer. So we lost, you know, some use through the loss of those activities. It also provides summer jobs for young adults in the area. We hire about 60 or so employees at the pool. So where are these folks coming from that use the pool? If you look at annual passes, it's very much, and this is from this year, it's a very much a Crystal Robbinsdale kind of a pool. 62% of the annual pass holders came from Crystal, 18% for Robbinsdale, so that's 80% right there. The rest coming from New Hope, Golden Valley, and then non-residents. And we do offer Crystal Robbinsdale, New Hope, Golden Valley resident rates for both annual passes and for swim lessons. Then for swim lessons, 33% from Crystal, 25 Robbinsdale. Looks like the New Hope folks stayed at the New Hope pool. So we didn't actually have any in Crystal. But then a lot more from Golden Valley coming up. And then the non-resident was a lot from like Minneapolis and areas like that. And we don't keep track of daily pass holders. We try to get them in so we don't ask where they come from. The current challenges is that the pool structure is leaking, and we've talked about that with both groups here. These are just some of the numbers for dollars, that have, it's been increasing over the years. Part of that is some financial ways of record keeping. Some of it is inflation. Some of it is we are using more water than we have in the past. And that's why the repairs are being proposed, is to bring that number back down. So the Aquatic Center program area, swim lessons, open swim and concessions, these are the numbers for that. And historically, they've done very well. The pool is popular. We generally make some money on those Aquatic Center programs. 2021, of course, was a down year. If you look at attendance, for a variety of reasons, attendance dropped this year. Some related to COVID, some related to the New Hope pool opening. Like I mentioned, some of our summer school groups didn't come. One of the things that was pointed out to me recently is we actually, when New Hope's pool was under construction, a lot of their lifeguards came to Crystal And when their pool opened up back up, they went back to New Hope. So we heard about lifeguard shortages across the metro area. I think our hole was a little bit deeper to start out with because we had that group that left to New Hope. So we didn't open as many hours. And so there's a lot of reasons that our use was down this past year. But historically, and if you look even further back than this, it's fairly consistent numbers over the years. And yeah. So then just some of the numbers, the expenses for the Aquatic Center, this does not include the programming, generally $85,000 to $100,000, a little bit more in 2021. If you add the building ISF funds in, that changes the numbers a little bit. The ISF is kind of an overhead number. So whether the pool is open or not, those numbers will, if they're not here, they may get allocated somewhere else in the city. So that's kind of more of an overhead, not all of it, but some of it. So then the total aquatic center is in the bottom, and that combines the cost of the building plus the revenues that we generate from the program areas. So just a little comparison here, how parks operate. We built Becker Park a few years ago for around $3 million. Both Crystal Cove and Becker Park are community gathering places. They attract ethnic diversity. Crystal Cove promotes water safety. It has that water safety focus. It's our only facility in Crystal that does that. Becker Park does not, but Becker Park is free to use. Crystal Cove is not, because we do have those specialized services that we offer there. So Crystal Cove, because of those fees, what that fees pays for is the staff, the lifeguards, WSIs, and those program areas. So the fees we get at the Crystal Cove do pay for that seasonal staffing at the pool. Becker Park, since we don't charge any fees, we don't get any revenue to pay for, you know, the mowing and the bathroom cleaning and the litter pickup and all of those kind of things that we have out there. And then the facility operation, it doesn't, neither one of those cover, the building costs. But just getting back to the Aquatic Center, the history, it was built in 1968. At the time, it had one large pool, one waiting pool, and a pool building. The Jet Scream water slide was added in 1990. But then back in 2005, the entire pool was in need of repair. So it was over 35 years old at the time and in poor condition. And the question came up then, just like it's coming up now, is should the pool be repaired? So the question was brought to voters. 61% of residents at the time voted to improve the pool. However, the approved amount did not fully cover all needed improvements. So in 2005, most of the facility was rebuilt. 2005, the cost was $3.2 million that was put into that. $2.4 million was from the referendum. In today's dollars, that was about $6 million that was put into the pool. Then the new features included all the pool mechanicals for both pools, the zero depth pool, drop slide, water walk, family changing rooms. And at the time, there were 10 alternates were put out in the bid packet. So we want to do this basic project and then these 10 alternates. I don't believe any of the 10 alternates were chosen. And of those 10, the ones in yellow are complete now. We did some floor refinishing, added some shade structures, new trash enclosure, increased landscaping, and replaced the roof of the building. So those were originally planned in 2005, were not done then, have been done since that time. And then the ones proposed for phase two that has been carried along is the lobby work, the main pool, new diving well, and exterior improvements at the main entrance. So as I mentioned, the phase one alternates that have recently been completed includes replacing the roof, additional shade structures, and recoating the locker room floors. And then some other things that have been done is gel coating the slides. That has to be done every 7 to 10 years, repainting the slide bridge structure, replacing the pool water heater, and replacing the water slide pump. So you can see in the picture, the slides, I think in the slot picture, were fairly recently re-gel coated with the colors. And that's one of the shade structures that was added. It was over that zero depth pool. So we had a study done recently to find out why our pool is leaking and what is the condition of the pool. And US Aquatics came out and did that. And they said the zero depth pool equipment is in great condition. The zero depth pool structure is in great condition. Main pool equipment is in great condition. However, the original main pool structure is at the end of its life. So that's the, you know, that was identified in 2005 and it was kind of been carrying it along. And they said it's really time to do that. So the phase one alternates that are now in the phase two project include replacing the main pool structure, the front desk lobby improvements, and improving the exterior and replace the building louvers on the front. And then other improvements in the phase two are replastering the zero depth pool, replacing one of the play features, as well as some other miscellaneous projects. So that's the phase two proposed project is $3.45 million. And that is included in the draft long-term plan. So I believe in that the, you know, what we're looking at the options is we continue to provide water safety swimming services in Crystal. We replace the leaking pool container, complete the other identified phase two projects. And those funds, as I say, staff has put those into the draft long-term plan. The other option is to stop offering water safety swimming services in Crystal. We remove the new project costs or the phase two project costs from the long-term plan. Review future of existing improvements. So, you know, what do we do with what's been recently put in? And then with no local pool, residents would need to travel to and pay non-resident rates at other pools. So that's kind of an overview of, I think, where we're at. So I'm open to discussion.
Okay, a couple things that I kind of want to make clear. I don't think I said it right. It's not about closing the pool. If the pool is to go away, I would expect that we replace something in terms of, you know, whatever the community comes up with. It's not just about close and no longer are we going to have any type of recreation in that location. It would be, what can we do? What can we do more efficiently? And on the long-term plan piece of this, it is written in there in the long-term plan. If I'm not mistaken, it hasn't been approved yet.
Correct.
So
it's a draft.
I don't want to mislead you to believe that it's in the plan and it's approved, because it's not. We kind of held back from voting on that long-term plan because those numbers were there and I didn't feel we had a community conversation and we really needed to start that. So,
can I make one clarification?
Sure.
The long-term plan has not been approved. That is correct. But we do have those improvements funded should the council proceed with the plan. I know it's a subtle distinction. I'm splitting hairs.
Correct.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Feedback from anyone? Comments? Questions? It's going to be a great short meeting. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you coming out tonight. Go ahead, Lynn.
Of course, I have things to say. First of all, back in 2005, when we put forth a referendum to rebuild the pool, it was a tough year for referendums. I want you to know, 61%. Was a heck of a windfall back in 2005. We were one of what, maybe two referendums that passed in the entire state. To me, first of all, that shows how much the city wanted to fix the pool. When we went out and did the pool, we said, this is something that will be around for a long time. The life of a pool, you know, what we're building will be here for 30 plus years. That's what the people who voted for. Now, can I just ask how many of you lived in Crystal and voted in Crystal in 2005 on that referendum?
Okay. One, three, four,
yeah.
Five, six.
Yeah. So, and you don't have to tell me if you did, but if you recall when we were walking around door to door, and we covered the whole city. And I personally didn't cover the whole city, but I did all of three and parts of two and four. So I talked to a lot of people and I knocked on every door. And unless it said no soliciting, because then it's kind of like, yeah. So, but anyways, I talked to a lot of people and I talked to very few people who did not feel that a pool was necessary for the city of Crystal and for the life we maintain to continue to bring in young families and as a service to the community. And we're more than willing to pay out the extra money in their taxes to cover the this kind of cost. And it's essentially the same amount. And we don't even have to go with a referendum this time should it pass, you know, should you decide to do it. So it is something that we promised the people we would have out there. So, you know, you gotta take that deep and you've got that whole other section that we promised would be there for 30 years. You know, and when you're asked, and like I say, and back in that day, it was a hard sell to get money because that was when the city didn't spend money. The state didn't spend money. No one was spending money on anything. I mean, people did not pass referendums for schools, for improvements at schools, but they did pass the referendum for a swimming pool in the city of Crystal. I think that is something very important to remember when you're making this decision, is that it is something that the people of Crystal did vote on once upon a time that they wanted to go mm-hmm. ahead and do.
Yeah, I think we're aware of the history in terms of what's changed. I mean, a lot's changed in terms of what's going on in New Hope. Some of the numbers, didn't we at some point have a daily or a weekly cost to this pool? So basically with the reduced hours, with a pool in New Hope, that's a completely different competition than what we've experienced before. Just the short season itself. We're looking at a huge capital amount to spend, and I don't know. I'm not the guy that's gonna say yes or no. It needs to be the community.
I'll say yes.
Yeah.
For you. No, but anyways.
No, you won't.
No, no, you won't. I'll say yes, just so you can hear somebody say yes. But the reason I brought up the difference is because I don't know if everyone knew, because even people who were voting did not realize what a big deal passing that referendum was. Now, and the other thing then, you know, as competition with New Hope, of course, they're really, you know, we became their competition at that time. And now they're becoming our competition. But one thing that hadn't happened then is we didn't charge a whole lot more for people to come here. It was the same price for both pools. So now if you do not have the pool and Crystal residents go to their pool, for starters, they're paying more for just a day pass. They're paying more for a season pass. We'll lose our resident status because we won't have an exchange. And even if we didn't lose our resident status, their resident season pass is more than our season passes. I think it's $15 difference if you do the early bird. Okay, we charge 45, they charge 60.
Currently.
Listed for 2022.
So
yeah, their non-resident rate is 90.
And they're non-resident, non-resident.
So our residents will go from 43 to 90.
Yeah. And we lose
Robbinsdale's residents do not get resident rates in New Hope. So that's why I think a lot of them come to our pool because we do have resident rates
now. Yeah. And then don't we lose that? Do we lose the resident rate then because we don't have the exchange?
Well, if we didn't have something to exchange, like the pool.
We'd have to have something
comparable. I would assume so, yes.
You'd have to have something comparable to the pool. Golden Valley has the indoor playground, which is what they throw into it.
So I love the idea of the pool. The cost is pretty high. $90 for that type of season pass is still a very inexpensive thing for a pool like that.
Not for Crystal.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then we got the whole of the rest of the citizens subsidizing it. well, even at $90, it's still gonna be subsidized dramatically. So I think we're in a different climate, you know, with that competition, and well, you take a look. It's not like, boy, I tell you what, it's not like we're taking water safety away from the entire region. I mean, we do have New Hope. We do have the YMCA. We do have other private organizations that have pools and have those types of classes. So again, it's a great idea. A whole bunch of people like that idea. However, it's a lot of money. Go ahead, Lynn.
Okay, as far as taking away swimming lessons, I think you will be, because you're going to have all of those apartment complexes that come and use the pool. They're not going to go to New Hope. Now, I can say from obviously I'm not doing it, but for this, the case back when I was a mother, there's a working mother, there's no way my son would have gotten to swimming lessons elsewhere, anywhere. He went to the Crystal Pool because he could walk.
I think the location is pretty important. There's a lot of people that walk directly to the pool, and closing the pool disenfranchises a certain set of the population of Crystal. They won't be able to make the trek. Some people will, certainly, but other people might not be able to make it. We would be taking away an opportunity for them. And I think that's something to consider too.
Yeah. Right. I absolutely hear this, because we also walk to the pool ourselves, and two of my kids, one is 17 now, have taken lessons every single year. And our pool pass holders, looking at these numbers, I am, these numbers are so problematic. I don't even know what to think about. I mean, like what to say. I mean, I feel guilty using the pool, knowing the cost and the loss. So as a council member and is thinking of the, you know, the budget and finances, that is a very painful pill to swallow, having used the pool, knowing how much it means to me and my family and our history here in Crystal. And yeah, so these numbers are very painful, especially like looking at 2005, what it cost to make those improvements then after the pool was, I don't want to say new, fairly new. Now it's, you know, 60, you know, since the 60s. So to have that expenditure every 30 years, it's like building a new Becker Park. You know, we just had that, you know, and that was a really big deal to finance that. So, and going to your point, Jim, of what, you know, replacing it with something, I don't know what could replace such a thing. But at the same time, I just don't know how to justify continuing it despite the overwhelming positive impact that it has in our community. So I'm very torn about this.
Yeah, I think it's worth a conversation in thinking about, you know, what are we going to get more bang for our buck? Is there anything or isn't there? This is the time to have a conversation. John, go ahead.
I think Lynn has a very good point. It's an election year. I think, you know, polling our constituents on what they would like to see there and informing them on what it would cost and how we would pay for it, I think is very viable. And I think that's, you know, why not take the opportunity to put it out to the public and have them just determine if they want to keep a pool like they did in 2005 or if they want something else. I mean, that's, you know, that's part of, you know, structures like this, especially with this dollar amount. This is how you get them done, or likewise move on. Thank you.
There's, you know, the challenging thing with staff. I mean, I've heard one suggestion, having a larger water event with more of a splash pad, I think would take less staff in terms of dealing with chemicals, dealing with lifeguards, that sort of thing. But you could still have quite a bit of community participation, which also would extend the use. I mean, that would be something that could be used not just between a few hours of the day, and then,
it could be used by all at all times. It would actually be more of an inclusive idea in terms of having people use it at will, from, you know, whenever it gets warm during the day till whenever it gets cold for the day and people don't want to use it. That is an option. I'd love to see if anybody has other options. I don't know what's going to happen moving forward. I'd say it's important to have something there for our community to be an attraction. Make no mistake about it. We need to have this money invested, but it's the question is, what's the bang for the buck? You know, and what's going to serve more people through more periods of time? The pool is, people go away to college, you know, and it doesn't matter what our August looks like, the pool is closed. You know, it could be 90 degrees in August, pool's closed. We don't have staff, we can't run it. A splash pad would be a heck of a lot more inclusive in terms of having more of the year functional in that realm. I know when my kids were young, obviously I have a little bit more of a distance than what some of you have from the pool, but trying to get there in the evening, by the time, you know, we really had the process of our routine and day done, we wanted to go to the pool. Pool's closed. You know, the hours aren't conducive. The length of time isn't conducive. The seasonal length isn't conducive to spending that kind of money, in my mind. If we could change that and functionally change that, which is a big question when we're looking at staff, when we're looking at the ability to run that. Go ahead, John.
I just have a question for John. Is the pool lighted? I mean, could we have it open later in the evening? I mean, is there any way in which we could run, you know?
That's just, yeah. I'm looking at Anne.
Yeah, I know. I'm.
I think there's some security lights there. I'm not sure how well lit it.
And yes, there's lights.
There's not lights. There's not. I don't think there are lights in the pool. I think there at one time had been, but I think they've all been taken out.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't answer that for sure. I know there are security lights, but user lights, I don't know.
To be clear, in September, the sunset is 8 o'clock at night.
Right.
So
yeah,
right. Don't know how big
the
lights are.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean,
I think in terms of safety, you're going to need a certain set of lights to illuminate walkways, and that the sunlight just can't provide.
I mean, if the issue is, you know, the time during the day that it's open, then how do we deal with that issue and make sure that's more accessible to people who have, obviously, you know, later work days or whatever, or maybe even, you know, they work late in the day and it's available to them early in the morning, things like that. Or, I mean, how do we improve that, I guess, would be something to look at, rather than just saying, like, you know, it closes at 5:30. I'm sorry, you know, it's not usable. So
Lighting is something that, if it's, I'm quite confident there's light poles out there, and if that needed to get upgraded, that wouldn't be as, you know, that's not crazy expensive. Way to put that.
I would think the biggest challenge in that scenario would be staffing. And right now we're coming off a year of a major challenge in staffing.
Right. Well, 2021 is you know, clearly coming. I think it was May when a lot of the restrictions came off. And so we were scrambling like crazy, just trying to even get the pool open. So, you know, there was a question in May, you know, do we open it this year again or not? And so, you know, we kind of did the best we could with what we had. So 21 is not a good comparison year for anything, but you know, but we're in a better spot this year because we did finally get enough lifeguards, and so we opened extra hours late in the year. But that doesn't help your annual pass sales, things like that. So you know, we're starting in a better spot. We don't have the whole of the New Hope lifeguards leaving like they did, you know, head into the other pool. So we're in a better starting point this year.
A couple questions. I know the problems is what leaking gallons every day or tens of lots of gallons. I don't remember how many. Would it be possible to limp along this year and put the issue of referendum in the fall? It's an election year, and let the citizens decide. Is that feasible?
Anne, you got this one?
I do. I love the idea. And for the last, golly, what, 6 years, the council has been pushing for the idea of an informational question on the ballot. But unless the city is planning to sell bonds or finance it, there's no way to legally ask an advisory question on a ballot. You can do a community survey, but you can't do, you know, are you willing to pay? Just should the city spend $3.5 million on the pool?
You can appropriate.
We have to have $3.5 million to spend.
Well, right? We do. We have it, you know, accounted for in the long-term plan. Not approved. But the way the state law works, and maybe Dave can correct me, but I think that the city cannot ask advisory questions on ballots. They have to be related to a true referendum of a bond issue or selling debt.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah,
one other question I was thinking is Robbinsdale residents are a large part of, I mean, after mm-hmm. Crystal, has anyone thought of exploring a way to partnership with Robbinsdale? It will offer, well, they get the community rate anyway, but you know.
This is a tough thing to look at, you know, because it's 21. That's when a new pool, New Hope was opened. I'd really like to see some historical. If I'm going to put any weight on these charts, you know, because the year before, I'm sure New Hope was completely different than, say, what was it, 5%?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's just.
Yeah, for this year, for New Hope, Crystal residents was 15% of their use at New Hope.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mayor.
I just have a question. Did the city ask for any state bonding money on this?
Not yet.
Yeah.
No, we didn't want to be greedy after we got money for the police station. You've got to pace yourself. Yes, well, because they're jealous of the police building.
But is this something where we could ask, you know, next bond in 2 years? Is there a time crunch?
Oh, we got expensive water leaking through, and that's our time crunch. Mm-hmm. Because it's not just water, it's treated water with chemicals, and there's an environmental impact to it as well. So time is not on our side, you know, I think most people's mind.
Plus also you'll need to have a plan. You just can't go and ask for the money and then, you know, say, and then not have some proposal like this is what we're doing, you know, and this is the amount of money that we have available. Like with the police station, you know, we had $10 million. So obviously, you know, we have a plan in place. This is what's going to happen, and we'd like you to participate. Then it's going to happen. But if you don't have anything set in stone, asking for money and trying to figure out what they'll give you won't happen.
Right. That's kind of sounds like where we're at. We have the money allocated, but not fully approved.
Right.
It seems like almost like a perfect bonding ask in a way, because there's a concrete plan, you have match money.
Right, and state legislation is starting, you know, and so they've already, you know, the governor's already put through a, you know, bonding bill request. And so, I mean, the idea is, you know, you would hopeful that your representatives, state representatives, would put forward your plan if that's, you know, on there. Who knows what's on their radar, right? You won't know. You will know here probably next month, so.
Okay, go ahead.
Historically, every year, the pool is in the red. So I guess the state can give a bond to a project that is just a loss. I don't think we will solve this issue in this evening. Like, how do we close the gap? Because there's like really a lot of like, do we sell different, you know, ice cream bars to, you know, to make up the loss? I mean, we could look at that. I don't know if somebody can put together some kind of financial plan to close the gap. But I just feel like the historic loss of money every single year, in addition to the cost of the improvements, just is like a bleed on the city. And as much as valuable as this pool is in soft, value, it still is just such an excessive loss to me to see this in addition to the improvements.
The pool was never meant to make money or even pay for itself. It's a good thing to have for the community.
Mm-hmm.
I think lots of the suburbs in Minneapolis, I'm sure as well, have pools and they don't make any money. They're not, it, it's It's not feasible. That's not what the purpose is.
Usually they are lost things, but that's really not the whole entire question. The rest of the question is it giving us enough community involvement? Is it the right answer for that money? It's opportunity cost. If you think in terms of economics, we're getting two handfuls of weeks of service to our citizens. Can we stretch that out in terms of more weeks? Can we stretch that out longer in the day? Can we get more bang for our buck? I think that's the real question. There are some things. I don't know if I agree that a pool is supposed to lose money. They traditionally do, but at to what degree? We have to start talking about at what degree.
Yeah. And I think so. Our pool.
Go ahead.
Our pool makes money on the program. So everything we charge pays for all the lifeguards, WSIs. Yep. It's just the building and no building in Crystal.
And that's another opportunity cost. I mean, now we're basically financing it with swimming lessons, and we don't have that open up to the public. It's open up for just a select few. So I don't know. Different way of thinking about it. First.
I just want to bring up one point, is that, you know, if and when the blue line comes through, it will be within pedestrian access of Bass Lake Road too. And if you're thinking about that corridor and you think about other pool opportunities, I mean, it's going to be like the only one that's accessible for transit. And New Hope isn't going to be in that contention.
Correct.
And so that's another thing to think about, is if we ax it now, we'll never know what could be with that.
That's an interesting viewpoint. I don't know if that's a pro or a con, because if we're going to subsidize it for people outside the community, is that what we're here to do? I don't know.
They pay higher fees.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And also all the development that's talking about are apartment buildings along Broadway there, right? And so close to the pool, and all of those are multi-family dwellings. There'd be a lot of kids that are in potentially residents of Crystal that aren't now within walking distance of the pool. I don't know, I think it's a good thing to have for our community. And if we decide to turn it into, just for argument's sake, I know there's a skate park there, but turn it into a skate park or turn it into something else, how many millions would that cost?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's why I don't believe the argument is, are we going to spend the money? It's how are we going to spend the money? I don't know. Nancy, go ahead.
Yeah, been listening to everyone's comments. I just wanted to let you guys know that I pooled some residents in the area too. Young families, seniors. I feel, after talking with some of these people, one of whom said they bought a pool pass last year. They said they would have saved money if they had just bought individual, because it was closed so much.
Mm-hmm.
And so they lost money buying a pool
pass. That's 21, right?
Huh?
That's his last.
Just
right,
last
right.
year.
That was my experience too.
Right. So, I mean, again, people who wanted to come to the pool but couldn't use it. So another family I talked to with kids ranging from 8 to 12, they same issues with them. They would want to take kids drive up and it was closed. My gut is telling me that this pool being open just a few months out of the year, closed here and there with weather, staffing, whatever, fights. We've had that issue too with public safety, sadly. I'm concerned because I think we're being underserved
with
as pool. It is now. And the ones who are the young families were like seeing opportunities. What if we kept the smaller pool and we did something where the large pool is, the leaking pool? What if we moved some swimming lessons to other areas? You know, what if we did access things like paddleboard lessons or using our lakes, Twin Lakes or whatever? Can we teach swimming somewhere else in the city? Just throwing out ideas. Can we partner with another city? Can Lifetime Fitness help? Can the Y help? Is there any other option to partner? Pooling with these residents, there were other things. Could we do a natural pool like Weber? Well, we're finding that's been problematic because of flow, apparently. Bert, our
Weber pool would be considerably more expensive.
Exactly, that too. But we're just thinking, are there other options out there? Is there a way to turn this from a negative to a positive, something that could be used more than 3 months out of the year and not subject to staffing? And can you bring the community together with other alternative venues?
Yeah, okay. You're absolutely correct that this pool was not open as it traditionally is. This year, we plan to be open traditional hours.
Right.
So yeah, 21 coming off the pandemic in May, that did turn everything upside down. And, so there were issues this year.
Exactly. And this year, now we're seeing things where some cities are saying there's a mask mandate or there's vaccination mandates or, so the pandemic's never really going to go away, is it? It's how we deal with it, how it mutates and how we get past it. That's my two cents, is I want to see something that's more utilized and serving more communities of all ages.
Okay, then.
Nothing new for me. Just I really want to echo Nancy. I remember we did a parks tour. We went to the YMCA in Ramsey. Was it in Ramsey?
It's Andover.
Andover. Okay. Huge thing. And I don't they have like a partnership with the city too? So, I mean, it's kind of like asking some fancy restaurant to come to Crystal. I know we can't really affect that because the market generally controls those things. So, but that would be a really great thing to see, is something of that nature there. And I just, municipal control, it's kind of like municipal liquor stores that always lose money, where a private enterprise could do a better job. But private enterprises do look at profit versus loss. So, who knows if there's anybody who will take that project on. I think you were giving Lynn.
Lynn, sorry, thank you.
Okay, hope I get this all in order. First of all, going back to your initial talking back earlier, Olga, the things that, such as swimming lessons and the lifeguards and the concessions, all of that is paid for, yes. The rest of it is a service, as our snow plowing, the use of the other parks, the police building, the city hall, the public works building, all things that had a lot of money coming into it. They are not meant to make money. They are a service. The swimming pool is considered a service to the city. So thus it's not expected. Doesn't mean it doesn't have to, but it's not expected to make money. There's, there's that perception right there. The other thing is, and I, talking to a lot of people, myself, of course, the swimming pool issue and the hours. And everybody goes back to this past year. First of all, besides the New Hope thing with the lifeguards, they couldn't get training because everything was closed down during the winter. So there no lifeguards could be trained to work at the swimming pool until it was raised. And it takes more than just a couple of weeks to earn your WSI, okay? Not to mention having places get up and running and offering the WSI just for the lifeguards and the swimming instructors to get their instructions so that they could even apply for the job. Okay. Now, as far as not being able to go when, because of the hours, they, bought the pass, it would have, did you ask them, have they had that same experience in past years when things were not under a pandemic?
They have.
Yep.
And they had that same problem that they could
frequent closure. And
why weather? And I guess then the question is, why do they still buy the season pass? Because in my
won't after this year
is that if they kept buying the season pass, they had to have been getting their use out of it, or they would not have continued to buy it.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did. I stopped buying it. I mean, I bought it for one year then, and couldn't get there, and it's like, okay, this is pointless.
And you buy the coupon book then to use as you can. Right. Which is less inspect and less expensive than going, but it's such a poor year to judge anything on. I mean, even looking at the loss of the expense, $109,783, when in 2017 and 2018 it was $93,000, and in 2019 it was $100,000. So we're not that far off.
But we can't go back to those numbers. Those numbers are no longer reliable because we have a different competition that exists over in New Hope. We've got 15% of still going over there this year.
Yeah.
And so it is a
horribly challenging year to make a judgment. And that's why
exactly.
I'm not rushing to, yeah, let's go ahead and do this because it's going to be the same when we come out of this. Yeah. Is it?
But
I don't know.
But if even that 109,000 over and above the 100,000 from 2019, and it was a pandemic year and you had half the amount of people attending even. So the cost is not.
I'm sorry, say that again.
The cost, you've got your inflation cost. The cost of the expense that we're spending on the pool is not going up. And I know people keep saying, oh, it's so much more expensive. But not really, not when you take into consideration the cost of inflation and how much more expensive. So yes, it is more expensive, but not in when you take the percentages, is what I'm saying. Okay, but this is part of the service. Did it cost, is it gonna cost more to heat all of our buildings this year? Yes. That's also part of the pandemic. These are all things that we're going through from the pandemic, and I think it's a really bad time to make a decision based on pandemic attendance, pandemic hours, because even with the pandemic, people, and it's not just, they didn't all just go to New Hope to go swimming. There are still people who were not willing to be near other people because there was still, we were still living right. under a greater assumption that you didn't go out into public at all.
Yeah, there's still a lot of fear flowing, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, but it's going to get, you know, as things move on.
I don't know. I'd like to go back to Forrest's point. You know, how can we stretch this out?
You know? Well, I just had a quick question. I don't know if you know this, John, but how much would it cost to remediate the site from where it is now, like just return it to a field? Because it seems like, you know, if we do anything else, we have to know like that cost, because that could be an astronomical cost. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think in the review we had, I believe just to remove just the deep end part was about $200,000. So with building and all the plumbing and all the pipes and filters and stuff, I don't know if it's close to $1 million, if it's $750 to pull all that out there, maybe it's only $500. I don't know. And the building's old enough, you have to, you know, you do all the asbestos reviews and all that kind of thing as well.
That's not the option I want, to just have nothing there. Joyce.
Hi. Yeah, I really missed me and thinking, you know, about, I kind of like the point council, with respect to, I think you mentioned a smaller pool or something like that. You see, okay. Recreation is very important, you know, to a city. And I think it's the city responsibility to make sure that its residents are taken care of holistically, you know, spirit, soul, and body. And looking at the pandemic now, there are a lot of issues, you see. So I would want to suggest that we really look at this matter deeply, carefully, do some research to find out what the actual opportunity cost is going to be, the actual cost. Because we are talking about a lot of money here. Yes, millions of dollars, you know, it's involved, but there are certain benefits that cannot be equated monetarily. Okay, what is going to be the long-term, whether short-term or long-term effect on the residents, the youth? There are a lot of issues. Water is very therapeutic. You know, people go there probably to de-stress. I mean, de-stress, maybe for medical reasons. We have the elderly here. What are these feral, maybe illnesses or, you know, recreational people? What does it do to them? You know, so if we took away the pool completely, what is that going to, what is going to be the impact on the resident? I think we really need to consider that before just focusing on, you know, just the money part of it. Like you mentioned, maybe we could come up with ways of financing, but I believe that water is very, very important. You know, it brings people together. There are a lot of people have been committing suicide, especially for me. I'm so passionate about the youth. And there's something about water, you know, when people come together, swim, the excitement, all of that, emotionally, psychologically speaking. So I really want to suggest that we look at these things carefully. You mentioned partnering with maybe, say, New Hope. Mm-hmm. I live in Crystal, and it has been problematic for me, you know, going over to the Wawa, you know, considering the location. But lately, my kids been going regularly now because they get rides, you know, the friends and stuff like that. And location really, really matters, you know, a whole lot. So let us, you know, really look at what is going to be the actual opportunity cost on the residents, you know, because is it going to yield to maybe more criminal activities or anger, you know, all of these things, you know, let's research this. Crystal is a big city. It's a vibrant city. We are striving. So I believe we need all of these amenities. You know, it makes us, you know, to be more together, you know, and, you know, do a lot of things. That's just my thought. I know money is important, but like I said earlier, there are certain things that cannot be equated monetarily, you know. When it comes to people's well-being, the mind, you know, what it does, what recreation, you know, actually do, you know, there's no price to that. So let's consider that.
Nancy.
I'm just thinking of when Becker Park opened and was redesigned, the splash pad has been such a huge success. And to see the smiles and the interaction and the joy that that little splash pad has made. And that's why, you know, I agree, water is therapeutic. And I'm thinking, are there alternatives? Are there other things we can do to expand so that we can be open longer, not as dependent on a lifeguard, perhaps, maybe with fewer, I don't know. Because I want to see something stay there with water for sure.
Yeah, like during one of our last meeting we had, Jonathan, I suggested that maybe we could have more or lessons, more classes, you know, more hours. And then maybe just get the community involved, maybe reach out, you know, find out what are on the minds of the, you know, the resident. I'm sure people will be waiting to kind of volunteer too, you know, just to, I mean, if we empower the people, encourage them, inspire them, I believe the people will come together. You know, people can offer voluntary services, you know, say, okay, I can come and volunteer for an hour. Even me as a parent, I'm busy, but I don't mind, you know, sacrificing maybe an hour or so, just come and do something. If we can sell that idea, say, this is what we want to do. You know, we are, you know, short on funds. You know, how can we all, you know, let's you know, engage the community. Let's hear from them, you know. Probably they might have other suggestions and stuff and see what sacrifices they are willing to offer, you know, to have certain things they are available.
If I could tag on to that about lifeguards, it's really a shame Minnesota has such strict restrictions. Wouldn't it be great if we could have adults with CPR and lifeguard training, you know, be able to volunteer? But the restrictions are so hard here, right? And so difficult that, John, can you speak to that?
I mean, the key is that we need to be trained.
Right.
You know, they need to be able to, you know, do their duties of a lifeguard. And if someone wanted to volunteer to do that, I'm sure we could make that happen.
That would be great. I mean, people who, you know, who are lifeguards going to college, who might be in their 30s or 40s now, can they still be a lifeguard? Or do they have to have that certification?
Oh, no, you need to have a certificate.
Yeah.
And does it need to be renewed, I think is the question.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It doesn't need to
be renewed. It's every couple of years, I think, 2 or 3 years.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So my 1953 certification is done.
Well, you could, you know, re-up it.
Yeah, true. But that could be a way to get people.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll get you.
Go first. So to me, I just see the pool as a community asset, kind of like if you were to, like if we were to put a Mount Rushmore of services and things that Crystal offers, you'd probably put that up there. And I just think we should invest in that. But at the same time, I think we should also look at, you know, what the residents want. And we should maybe see if there's other things that could be used in this area in the future. But I think we should invest in it. And going forward, really make sure we're engaging the community to, you know, find out what people think and what they want. I think a couple of people have mentioned that. And I think it's an important asset for our city. So. That's why I see it.
You know,
Why don't you go ahead, Jesse?
Okay. You know, I think several of you have made this point, David and Joyce, just a moment ago, but I think this is something that is definitely worthy of more consideration. I do think there are a variety of options that are available, but I think we need to recognize a couple of things as well, that if the pool is removed, it's not a situation that we're probably coming back to once the pool is out. If the city ever decides that, oh, maybe we shouldn't have done that, I don't think there's going back from that, because the construction costs will just be astronomical. You know, thinking about who's gonna utilize that space, who's gonna utilize the pool, I think considering the current population of Crystal and where we view ourselves 10, 20, 30 years down the road, and who would be the potential benefactors of that is important. You talk about maybe putting in a splash pad or something like that. Well, consider we get an increasingly aging population. Senior citizens probably aren't going to be using a splash pad. Older kids wouldn't use a splash pad either. So, and this is something we've been talking about on the commission for some time, and it's reflected in the master plan too, the idea that we need to provide equipment and services that accommodate all people in Crystal of all different abilities. And that's partly why we're especially proud of Becker Park, because it offers equipment that kids of different abilities and disabled adults can play with their children on that same equipment. So the other point also is that money is going to be spent at this site one way or the other. As you mentioned in the previous work session, it's just not feasible to continue to let the pool leak out water. That Mayor Adams mentioned that there's the environmental impact. So something needs to be done one way or the other. But thinking about what can we do as a city to benefit all different types of people in Crystal the best is the question that needs to be answered.
Thank you, Jesse. Go ahead, Tony.
I guess I'll just start by saying that I've never used the pool and I don't really care for it. I barely know how to swim, so I'm probably never gonna use it, but I'm just one person in Crystal. I know there's a lot of people that use it. I think the timeline here kind of, for me, alternatives are very attractive because it could be something that I would use or something I would be interested in Crystal, but I don't think the timeline really allows for us to really look at concrete alternatives unless we look at shutting down the pool for a year and just leaving it empty and try to figure out what those alternatives would look like. Because right now we're just looking at a dollar amount. What could we use that dollar amount for? No one really knows. So it makes that discussion really hard. I mean, if the community still wants a pool, I'm fine with that. I'm not gonna use it still, but there's other things for me to do in Crystal. So yeah, I think when New Hope was building their pool, they were shut down for a summer, right?
Yes, for a couple of years.
And did we offer resident rates still here for New Hope residents while their pool was shut down?
Mm-hmm.
Just a thought I had possibly, because this discussion seems super rushed, whether or not to approve this money right now. And I think to actually have a conversation with the community, you need time to have that conversation.
Right. Olga?
Yeah, I have the same feeling. I do feel like this needs a really, like Joyce said, a very thorough and thoughtful process. And this is definitely like, we can't solve, I'd like to see on paper some of the viable options on both sides. For example, God forbid selling this plot of land to some other developer, because that is, you know, kind of like the horrible evil thing to say is that we're going to shut the pool down and sell it to somebody else and they're going to do something else. I mean, that's the really the extreme end of the spectrum. But I'd like to see the spectrum. For example, in Minnesota, we're talking about serving kids with disabilities. A family will pack in the car and drive from somewhere with a child who's disabled and arrive at the pool only to learn that it's closed because of one thing or another. You did not serve, we did not serve that family with a disability because it's a lot of work to get out, to get the things that people need to get into a pool. Do we have, I do believe, I don't think I've ever seen any handicap kind of lifts or you know, another option. I mean, goodness, in Minnesota, we're indoor pools. I know indoor pools are, you know, they're open year round. So if we want to be competitive, we have a pool like a mile away in New Hope. So if we want to offer something different that attracts people, then we really have to do something different instead of another redundancy. I don't really think a splash pad is a good idea because they're everywhere. We have one in Becker Park. It's just going to be, you know, it's the same thing. So it is a really big conversation that is beyond the scope of just this one meeting. And I think it requires thorough financial analysis and input. We had study groups for Becker Park. We had focus groups. So I think it is that deep of an issue.
Ahead and Forrest.
Does people believe that there is a possibility where we'd be spending more than $3 million on a different thing, right? Is that on the table? Is that part of the spectrum?
Well, I would assume if you're, pardon me for jumping in, but I assume if you're looking at something like making that a year-round indoor facility, that is not going to happen with $3.5 million.
And we'll be looking for a lot of
right, a lot of state grants. That's a good question.
Do you have a suggestion?
No, I was just kind of wondering what the tolerance was for that. Because, you know, kind of going to look back to, you know, Tony was talking about his lived experience. Mine, I grew up in Golden Valley. You know, the place south of where people talk about. And, you know, we didn't have a pool in Golden Valley. And back when I grew up, you know, Brookview was almost as like a Schuler's, like a dive bar type place. There wasn't any indoor place there either. So most of our destination recreation was outside in Golden Valley. And as a kid, I went to Crystal Cove. But to be quite honest, we quickly ended up going to Staples Park more often because they had bigger slides, they had the sand pit thing, and you know, that is something that plays into this. And I'm like personally on the fence, like, which way do we want to take a broader look? Do we just allow it to do we just keep it going as the way it is for $3 million? But I think, I mean, the thing that nobody really wants to hear is if we spend $3.2 million on it now, we could end up in a situation where Bunker was last year, where they had to do a massive like revamp to just be competitive up there. And you know, I think we need to slow down and take that look, that holistic look, do that analysis of what is the long-term plan for this pool and really figure out what our timeline is here. Because like at the last presentation, John was saying it didn't seem like that much water. Like, and it would be really nice to talk to like an environmental engineer or specialist or PCA or somebody and be like, so what is the threshold here? Where, like, because you know, what's like, where are we right now? How much time do we have actually? And talk to an independent, you know, environmental, somebody that isn't trying to sell us something too.
So
that would be nice.
Point.
So, because if we don't know the timeline, we're
going to
feel rushed no matter what.
Yeah. You know, a couple interesting things. Go ahead, Nancy.
Oh, just I'll say to your point too. I think I'd like to challenge us to come up with some alternatives so that we're not underserving by not being open so much. To be open more, to have different activities, another destination place. That would serve more people of all abilities. That's my big takeaway right now. I'd love to see the pool stay, but I don't think in its current fashion that it's serving the way it could be.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Well, I guess we should,
you want to move that mic? Grab your mic.
We want to hear you, Joyce.
You know, I already talk loud anyway, so most time I afford the mic. But I would like to suggest that we engage the community.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Let's hear from them. Okay. You know, because they are the reason why we are here.
Yeah.
You know, to provide service. So that we can, I think, lessen the burden, you know. And Jerry carries the rule. So when they tell us what I on it, like she mentioned something, you know, and I really touched my heart talking about, mm-hmm. you know, a family with a you know disability, kid, you know, that means a whole lot. Mm-hmm. One is too many. Mm-hmm. I mean, so we can't be like, oh, maybe there are only a few, you know, it means a whole lot, you know, making a difference in people's lives. So let's reach out to the community. Let's hear from them. And I think that will lessen the burden on which route to go.
Yeah, you know, I think in this conversation, I think you're right on. I think we do need to engage the community. And I don't think how we do that moving forward is going to be decided yet tonight. I think we'll have some internal conversations, and I hope you do as well in your group as to what that might look like in fairly short order.
Well, I was going to offer up that I think John and I would try to put together something for you to bring to the February commission. That's going to be really quick. Some ideas, at least, to bring back to you for the council.
But I'd like to stay wider.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, I understand we're talking about a water asset, and it'd be great to replace it with another water asset. But there's other considerations as well. You know, how much is the greater community going to be served?
Yeah.
You know, we made a decision to build a police station here as opposed to building it at the community center. The reason we made that decision was because we want to preserve that space for the community for whatever purpose serves the community at the highest level. And I want to maintain that spirit as we move forward. And if we're putting an equivalent to $3 million into something new or into something similar, and that's what the community pretty much wants, that's great. If it's going to be taking Crystal Community Center and turning it into something that's a higher use, whatever it is, program, whether it's a, I don't know what's happening, losing my words. but I think you understand my point that it's going to be the highest use possible. John's no stranger, neither is Anne, to my frustrations with the community center. I want it to serve more and better and to be less restrictive. You know, we went through some periods of time where kitchen, just even the use of the kitchen was restricted so much that it sits empty most of the time. You know, how do we change our own policies internally? Yeah. How do we change the facilities so that they're more user-friendly to the community? I think this is an opportunity to kind of take a look at some of that stuff and at least in this space, figure out what that might look like. So what Anne said, you know, moving forward, kind of next steps are gonna be bringing it back to the council as well as I would imagine you guys would have something as well. John.
This is something that the Park and Rec Commission should take ownership of, figuring out what the best use of that space is. I mean, that is your job, you know, and so it's important that you look at it from a broad perspective and try and help us determine the best use of that space. If it isn't replacing the pool, we're moving on to something else. So it's very important that you take that into consideration as you move forward. Thank you.
Go ahead, Lynn.
You just mentioned the community center. Mm-hmm. So are we also to take into consideration the community center in this space and how it can all be reused and
I was focusing on just the pool center,
how it isn't being used. So, and then if we want that to be better utilized, and then the pool area should be better utilized. Or are we supposed to put the two together?
I would have, you know, I had no intention of reworking the communities. That's a whole different animal. However, you know, there are things that we can do just from a policy standpoint, or just, you know, creating ideas amongst us to make even the existing facilities more.
So useful. We can't come up with a great big building that has an indoor pool and a facility like Brooklyn Center has, where they've got hockey and and a swimming pool and a big ball.
I don't have that appetite. I don't know about anybody else here.
Shoreview has a lovely community center. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
You know,
it's fantastic.
To answer your question directly, I mean, we're dealing with this space. You know, the space, I'm not one of those guys who want to tear everything down. You know, if we can add something that benefits more, add some benefits more, and in policy and procedure wise, make the other thing more valuable. If the community center becomes to the point where we consider it useless, yeah, that would be the conversation. I don't think those gymnasiums are useless.
Okay, so that was just a sidebar about wanting to get the community center to be more. You weren't putting that whole area.
No, I really wasn't. I mean, that's okay. A whole different conversation.
I just had to check and make sure because it almost sounded
you know, we understand the impact, kind of what Joyce was saying. It's so imperative that we get our youth involved in something. I don't know, my experience, my viewpoint is it's fairly narrow in terms of time scope and what have you. And I think Tony hit it too, that that's a lot of space and it's serving kind of a small segment of population. So I don't know. Let's see where we go from here and kind of go from there. Jessica, go ahead.
I think just my last question of clarification would be, it seems as though the general attitude is that there's not necessarily opposition to spending this money if it serves the community in the best way possible. And the primary concern here is making sure that whether the pool is renovated or another project is pursued, that those dollars better the community in a way that everyone can benefit from.
Yeah. And I think that's fairly accurate from my perspective. I'll speak for myself. And, you know, when you start talking about too big of a project, now all of a sudden it brings in my financial philosophy. I like to do things via cash. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't think there's anybody in the room who doesn't know that. So that may become a bigger challenge as we blow it up. And you know, obviously if we do something that's more expansive, it's gonna take more planning, it's gonna take more financing, it's gonna take more grant seeking, it's gonna take more. And I don't think the principles in my mind are changing that much. All right, any other last words?
I have a question.
Joyce?
Would eliminating the non-resident fees for using the community center, would that make a difference? Because like I do admire the, you know, the facilities, very nice and stuff like that. But I was thinking that probably if that fee or fees are eliminated, and well, maybe some incentives to attract, you know, non-residents to make use of the, because I see in my community sometimes people might want to use other community facilities, maybe like, oh, non-resident pay this amount of fee, and that kind of like, you know, deter them from, you know, doing that. So I don't know.
You know, those are tough questions for me to answer because we don't get into that kind of detail, or I don't get into that kind of detail. That's more of a John thing to kind of manage that. And, you know, there's the fixed cost, there's a variable cost, and, you know, if we can run that thing, get it busy, have it spinning, and we're not really increasing some of our fixed costs, that's awesome. And maybe by pure volume, if we can get the volume of smaller charges, that'd be great. And again, is it going to pay for itself? No, but we might be able to have a huge thriving community center mm-hmm. that's completely active and it's engaging all the different age groups. Still costing about the same and making them about the same. I mean, that's the vision. That's the ultimate vision, I think. Tony.
I just had one more thought that I've been thinking about it. Just from an environmental standpoint, the idea of the pool leaking so much water into the ground, I really don't like that. But just if you kind of think about where the world's going to be like 10 years from now, just the idea of having this much water being used by a pool, even if it's not leaking, I don't know, water just seems like it's more and more of a luxury. And I don't know, a pool seems like it's becoming more and more of a luxury, using that much water. And it's just a hard thing to think about because how much the world has changed in the last 10 years. Where are we going to be here 10 years from now?
To your point, I mean, what's going to change in 10 years is going to be, oh, it's going to be so much faster than what we've experienced in all our lifetimes. Who knows where we're going to be?
Yeah.
Interesting. Forrest, you're thinking, did you have a last comment?
No, I did not.
Okay. All right.
I just got very deep.
Can I just say, I'm just so thrilled that we could meet with you tonight. And I wish we could do this more. I think we will be after tonight's discussion, but I'm just thrilled to be hearing from you and your perspectives. And thank you.
We very much appreciate the invitation. Thank you.
All right. All right, we are adjourned. Have a great night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.